Life continued. I continued to get phone calls. I continued to get email messages. I continued to have breakfast appointments, lunch appointments. Life just continues. And it ebbs, it flows. There are ups, there are downs, in, out, dark, light. My nephew, we went to his wedding in Baton Rouge back in May. So he's a newlywed. They're expecting their first child. And they were victimized by the flood down in Baton Rouge. They lost their home completely. It was flooded to the roof. And not only that, but all of my sister's in-laws lost their homes too. Devastating. Freshly married. New baby on the way, no home. But I like what my niece wrote in the midst of this. And I wanted to share with you a little blurb of her perspective as she dealt with this. She said, "I'm at a loss for words when I see the footage of what's happened to my area. I never thought it would ever be this bad. I left home with my husband, my car, 2 days of clothes, and my electronic devices. But I'm praising God that we and all my family have life. And we know that He will provide, and we know that He will replace everything we need. So thank you to everyone who called and texted and prayed for us. We're going to be okay, and we're praying for others in our same predicament." They're committed members of a church, and their church family rallied around them and helped to support them and pray for them. And the Lord has given them context for the events that have overtaken their lives. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. We're all dealing with stuff. I'm just curious, is anybody here, anyone here present, quick survey, anybody here not dealing with any stuff at all? That everything is just perfect right now, and as far as the eye can see, horizons beyond, there's just blue sky. Not even a speck of cloud on the horizon. Let me see the hands of those whose lives I just described. There you go. Stuff happens. Life is happening all around us. But here's the thing to keep in mind today and this month and indeed for the rest of our lives down here. As stuff around us is happening, our purpose remains unaltered and unaffected. Yes, give the Lord a hand for that. Our purpose remains unaltered and unaffected. Nothing, flood, fire, hurricane, tornado, nothing and nobody can tamper with our purpose. It's untouchable. They can mess with our situations. And people do mess with our situations, don't they? And life messes with our situation. But they can't touch our purpose. In Acts chapter 5, I don't want you to turn there, but in Acts chapter 5, the disciples were arrested for preaching Jesus. And they were brought before the same motley crew, the same rogue outfit that had sentenced Jesus to death. And they were trying to decide what to do with these men now that they had them in their clutches. And a wise old Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel said these words as they were contemplating what to do with the disciples. He said, "In the present case, brothers, fellow Pharisees, fellow crooks. In the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. You see, God has a purpose for each one of us. And no matter how many times we've heard it, we need to marinate in it. And we need to reflect upon it. We need to thank God for it. We need to encourage one another with it, because it is very easy to get sidetracked. So let's look at our text this morning, and we're going to jump into this and develop it a little bit more further. Our text is from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're looking at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you'd not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. What a wonderful passage. What precious truths. What deliciously juicy grapes these are. But if you want to have a main idea of what I'm going to extract from this, here's the main idea. Our subject is the simple truth of what we're doing here, and the main idea is this. We are here to promote Him. We are here. We were created. We were chosen. We were thought up by God. We were placed here on earth. Our purpose is simply this. We have been placed here to promote Him. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Now, how that expresses itself in each of our lives, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But the overarching purpose, the reason we have been placed here, is to promote Him, to be saturated with the experiential knowledge and love of the living God, to be overwhelmed by His magnificence, to be caught up in the rapturous splendor of who He is, to be fascinated and fixated and overwhelmingly hungry for Him, and then to promote Him. That's why we're here. We've been created to make His praise glorious. We were created, it says in Isaiah 40, we were created to bring glory to Him. Isaiah 43, we were made to bring glory to Him. So the simple truth of why we're here is we're here to promote Him. And as simple as that statement is, It is surprising how easy it is to be sidetracked from that simple objective, to get caught up in the worries of life, to get caught up in the stuff that's happening to us and happening around us. And it's stuff we have to deal with, isn't it? We have to deal with it. It's stuff we got to deal with, so it's easy to get caught up in it. I know how it is. Sometimes it feels like, Lord, you know, you said be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Lord, you said don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You said all these things, Lord. Let's make it easy.
Right.
Take them all away and I won't worry. Right? It seems simple. If you don't want me to be anxious, Lord, take the things that are making me anxious away. Problem solved. You're happy. I'm happy. But see, it's not that simple. And the reason why it's not that simple is because the very thing that's worrying us and vexing us, the very thing that's bothering us, that cloud on the horizon, the trials and tribulations that come into our lives, are the very things that advance the purposes of God. Whoa, wait a minute. Slow down. The very things that vex us are the things that will help us to fulfill the big picture to which we have been called. And all you have to do is look at the scriptures. Look at all of the Old Testament stories that we hallelujah about today. We talk about the three Hebrew boys thrown in the fiery furnace. We talk about the Red Sea parting. We talk about the Jordan parting. We talk about Gideon conquering the Midianites. We talk about all these wonderful things. These are the things that advance the purposes of God. But to the people who were experiencing them, they didn't know how it was going to turn out any more than you know how your life is going to turn out. The only way they knew how it was going to turn out was by faith. Because they didn't see it. We look at it and we know what's going to happen and we're having a good time. They weren't having such a good time. God is able to deliver us. We know that, but will he? But even if he doesn't, then he's got a different purpose for us. And it doesn't include bowing down to your idols. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we need the big picture. And even when we're not focused on us, even when we're not focused on our own stuff and we want to, you know, get outside of ourselves, we can get caught up into trying to fix the world. We can get caught up in good causes. Nothing wrong with good causes, but good causes are not always God's causes. There's lots of good causes. We were not placed here to just be involved in good causes. We were placed here to proclaim, to declare, to promote him. We need the big picture to steady us. We need to keep our eyes fixed on what God is doing. You know, athletic programs are great. They're models at being able to paint the big picture for their athletes to keep them energized and inspired when they're going through the daily grind of workouts and drills. So they give them a big picture. And they've got all kinds of slogans at the University of Michigan. And that's the only time I'm going to use the University of Michigan, which is, for those of you who don't know, I am a Michigan State Spartan, and our colors are green and white, not maize and blue. So if you're going to give me a present, it better be green and white. Don't come up here with any Michigan uniform or shoes. They're the bad guys. But I'm going to give them credit for this slogan that keeps their athletes fixed and focused on the big picture. In their locker room, there's a saying that is attributed to Bo Schembechler, but he actually stole it from Bear Bryant. But the phrase is, those who stay will be champions. Those who stay will be champions. What a majestic saying. So they're working out, they're going through the drills, and every day they see those who stay will be champions. It focuses their effort. It gives them energy. It gives them perseverance. Now, I must say that my boys from down the road, Michigan State, they did a little take on that saying because we are the reigning Big Ten champions. And so they said, those who stayed are already champions. Just saying. So maybe that's not the best example, but you get what I'm saying. We need to be connected with the big picture in order to be able to endure the grind of every day and the ups and downs and the tribulations that come our way. We need to be focused on something bigger than it. What does the scripture say? It says, we've been chosen. We belong to God who called us out of darkness. God called each one of us out of darkness. We did not find our way out of darkness. We did not turn on a light and say, hey, here's the way out. We were blind, we were dead, it says, in our trespasses and sins. And God spoke into the darkness of our non-existence existence, the death of our living, for we were walking around physically alive, but we were dead. We were the walking dead. We were literally zombies. We were walking around, but as Jesus said, we had no life in us. And God spoke into the darkness and called us into his marvelous light. He called us by name. He said, Gene. He said, Laverne. He said, Jim, I'm calling you. He said, George, I'm calling you. Do you hear me, George? I'm calling your name. It's me, Jesus. We didn't find him. He found us. You did not choose me. I chose you. It says he called us out of darkness. You know, being a Christian, I tell people all the time, being a Christian does not mean that I found the right way to live. That's not what it means. You know, I didn't find religion. I didn't find a set of rules that work for me. Well, it works for you. I'm glad it works for you. No. That's not what it is. I did not find anything. I was found by the right person. I didn't find the right way of living. I was found by the right person who called me. He is the difference in my life. He is the distinguishing factor in my life. I told him the other day, I said, Lord, you are my excellence. I don't know what you base your excellence on, but Lord, you are my excellence. Everything I have, everything I am, everything I hope to be comes from you. I recognize that in you I move and breathe and exist. I have my being in you. Whatever else I think I created, whatever kingdom I think I've built, whatever accomplishments I think I have attained. Jesus? No, no. You called me. You gave me life. And then you gave me new life. You allowed me to be born by Emma May Beatty. And then I was reborn by the Spirit of God. You are the one who called me and chose me. And he didn't call you and choose you and set you on the little knick-knack shelf to just wait there until he comes back, walking by, dusting you off a little bit every week. He called you according to his purpose. He has a purpose for you. And in a general sense, that purpose is to promote him. You know that there's so many religions and that there's so many people worshiping a God. Different kinds of gods. That there are so many, it's validation that someone is calling out to mankind. Somebody is calling mankind into a relationship. Now, we know that someone became flesh and walked among us and personally came to extend the invitation. Not to be a mystery that cannot be known, but he became flesh and blood and dwelt among us so that we could all know him personally as we know one another. Says that we were called to declare his praises, is what the text says. We were called out of darkness to declare his praises. Now, in my early spiritual days, I had a very narrow view of what it meant to be called to declare his praises. It wasn't wrong, it was just narrow. It's much broader than that. When I thought of declaring his praises, I thought that that meant going out and just sharing the gospel with as many people as I could, as often as I could, wherever I could. I preached on Michigan State's campus in the open air. I preached at Howard University's campus in the open air. People would come by and I would sort of incite some of the people who were antagonistic so I could get a bigger crowd. And I would preach on the beaches of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We went across. I was sharing the gospel with everything that moved, everything that breathed. And the Lord used it. Saw many people come to know Jesus Christ. But I was narrow in my perspective on this, and God said, that's great, but we need to expand this a little bit. Because I genuinely didn't believe a person, I didn't even know of such a thing as a Christian who didn't do what I was doing. Because the church in which I became a believer was very focused on evangelism. And so that defined to me what a Christian was. So it was hard for me to meet a Christian who wasn't going door to door, who wasn't preaching on, you know, the street corners and preaching in on New York City and doing all these crazy things. And I was crazy. I'm looking at me, I'm laughing because I'm looking at myself back there. I'm thinking, you were crazy. That's okay. God used it. When I saw that, I thought, that's what it means. It means that. For some of us, some of the time. But that's not all that it means. It means many things. It means more things than I can even recount here. I don't care. It could be participation in the ministry here or service, loving one another, financial contributions, praying for the ministry. It's what I say to every single person who wants to become a member of our church and when we sit down and talk. I say, this is about your investment in the pursuit of this question. What has God placed in me to make me a game changer for him? Because I am a game changer. If you're at Valley Brook, you need to understand that. You're going to hear that you are a game changer. You are a playmaker. You're not a bench rider. You're not somebody on the periphery. I don't see any bench riders out there. I see no peripheral Christians. I see people who were called by God and purposed by him. And the only question in my mind is, what has God planted in you that he wants to spring forth and spring out? And it may not be some big thing. It may not be some great ministry. You see, it could just be your personality unleashed. Yeah, it could be that. That might be more than enough. I told my wife I had too much to say. Amen. It's not the tasks that we perform. Here's what it is. We talk about grasping our calling. It's not a specific task. Don't go looking for a specific task, because that's not it. That may be it for a minute, but God might move you from that to something else. So it's got to be something bigger than a specific task. So what task have I been placed here to do? Okay, it's not that. Here's what God is calling us to. He's calling us to a simmering passion for him. A simmering passion for him. All day long that spills out in unexpected ways, at unexpected times, in front of unexpected people. And we go, whoa, what was that? See, it's not about the task. It's about the master. It's about the Lord. It's about the one who called us, not about the calling. It is about the one who called us. What we have to declare is who he is to us. And the more he is to us, the more we have to declare. See, that's how it works. So my prayer is a simple one. And I pray this pretty much every day. I pray, Lord, my prayer is this. May each one of us, for our church, may each one of us entering those doors at Valley Brook, may each person entering those doors, whether it be a member, a friend, or a visitor, may they feel the personal embrace of the living Jesus Christ in such a way that they just want more of him. That they just want more. I want more of that. I want more of him. That's my prayer for. That was my prayer for each Sunday when I wasn't here, when I wasn't teaching. It's my prayer every day for us. That, Lord, you'd help us to be a place that proclaims you. Not by preaching at people per se, but Lord, by that simmering passion within each one of us. May our church increasingly be a place that focuses on knowing you better. And may knowing you better blossom our church in ways that we never could have imagined or engineered ourselves. That's my prayer. We can come up with all kinds of ways to do church. We can come up with all the latest technologies. We can study all kinds of books. We can figure out a plan for how to do church differently. That's not what I want, Lord. What I want is that simmering passion that we all share together to blossom our church in ways that we wouldn't have imagined. and that we could not have engineered ourselves. We don't want to say, we did it. We want to say, how did that happen? That's what I want to say. And the Lord is doing that. We're looking at one another saying, what in the world is going on? I can't figure it out. I'm telling you, Elder Jim, am I telling the truth? We sit around at elders' meetings. We sit around at leaders' meetings. And all of us have this profound sense that our church is being blossomed by the living God, but we can't define it. But we know what it's about. It's about Him. It's about Him. Oh, I got to stop. And I didn't even get to the heart of it. So I will give it to you next week. Because I'm done. Praise the Lord. I think we got a last song.